Live from the Cherry Bomb Studios, this is Anime Cherry Bomb, your one-stop shop for all your anime needs. I'm your host, the loose soul captain himself, Aaron Torres, along with the conquest god himself, Jay. Jay, how's it going?
It's going good, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Last week's anime was average.
Yeah.
And a little bit below average, and I don't want to toot my own horn this week, but I think I struck gold.
Oh, yeah. You picked a good one, Aaron.
So this week's anime is The World Only God Knows. Uh-huh. And Jay, let's start off with some facts.
All right. The World Only God Knows is a harem romance comedy anime that was released in 2010. There are 12 episodes in each season. There are three seasons. It was based on the manga by Tamiki Wakiki, who's also done Holy Crystal Albatross. Have you heard of that one?
No, I have.
You have?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
I haven't.
The Screw People, and he also worked on some original costume designs for Dead or Alive 5.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that. Yeah. That's cool.
So, yeah. And it was directed by Shigehito Takeyanagi, who's done some episodes for Cardcaptor Sakura, Galaxy Angel series, and Tokyo ESP. Have you ever heard of any?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then also, I don't think if you have that written down or not, but he only directed the first two anime. There's a
The two seasons.
Yeah, he directed the first two seasons, and then the third season. That's why I think that the weaker of the three. That might be the reason why.
There's a couple of reasons.
Yeah. But I think, like, the change of directing, you can kind of see it.
Yeah.
And he also did Battle Blood Blockade. And if you, like, you're reading off of some of those ones, there's a couple Bones anime in there. So it seems like after he was done working with the studio.
Manglode.
Yeah, Manglode.
Manglode.
Yeah, as soon as they were done with him, he jumped over there.
Oh, okay. So, the studio was Manglobe. They've done Samurai Champloo, Ergo Proxy. Did you see that Ergo Proxy reference that they had?
Yeah, exactly.
And Hayate the Combat Butler filed for bankruptcy in 2015.
Yeah,
which is probably one of the main factors of why the third season, or maybe not why the third season is bad. Maybe
it's rushed.
Rushed. Yeah.
Yeah, like they're. I know during the production or during when it was coming out, it was very popular, like, and it spawned in all these OVAs, all these stuff. Like, they're trying to cash in on it.
Yeah.
And it's pretty sad. I think I shared with you earlier this week that they announced their bankruptcy with one episode left in their last anime.
Yeah.
Which was Gangsta, which is a pretty cool anime in itself also.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know if it shocked anybody, but it was just, I remember opening up the anime news that day and seeing that it was closing down, and I was like, I was really disappointed.
Yeah.
At that point, I didn't know they made The World Only God Knows, or maybe I'd forgotten up to that point. But then it came to the realization that, like, we're never going to get the real closure to the series.
Mm-hmm.
So that all that's left is if you want to know the end of it, or the real end of it, go to the manga.
Yeah, that's like the only way, unless somebody picks it up and tries to do something with it.
Yeah, and I'll jump a little bit into the anime itself real quick. The ending of season 3 does leave the door open for another season.
Yeah, it does.
Especially with a very, not, grim's not the word, but one of the characters, Elsie, says, like, well, you know, Kama's back to normal the way he is. But through that whole episode, we found out that he's changed since.
Yeah, and he's kind of depressed or.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we never see what the
outcome is.
Exactly.
Like, and what's the aftermath of this whole ordeal?
And see, I'm going to hold off on my season 3 rant because this is. It's just sad.
All right, so. It was licensed by Sentai Filmworks in North America. There was two other licensees, but for, like, Australia and Japan.
Yeah.
But we'll just focus on the Americas, and they've done Ninja Scroll, Appleseed, High School of the Dead, and the music that was done by Hayato Matsuo, who's done like some video games like the Shenmue series, Final Fantasy 12.
Yeah,
he's done, and some of the Dragon Quest games. And you could kind of tell from his music that it kind of sounds like it would be like video gamey. It sounds RPG-ish.
Yeah,
in my opinion,
for sure.
And some of the animes that he's done are Kaijo, I think is his most recent, Guyver, and Magic Knight Rayearth series.
Oh, that's old.
Yeah,
old.
Super old. I mean, that I remember Magic Knight Rayearth is a, I think it's a video game for like the Sega CD.
Yeah.
Or the Saturn. So I have a lot to talk about of the opening themes, because there's a lot of people to talk about. I know,
the opening and the ending themes.
Yeah, and there's multiple of each. Well, not multiple ending themes.
Yeah, but before we jump into the themes and stuff, I'd like to actually commend this background music.
Uh-huh.
It's really good. I know every week I bring up, and I kind of think it's unfair, and I bring up like, oh, I never have this on my phone or on my MP3 player. Yeah. Except for, like, the only one that I would really want music of up until this point was, like, Soul Eater. I had a bunch of Soul Eater music.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I really like the themes for Haruhi.
Oh, yeah. I really like the themes of Haruhi, too. I think I also, one of the first songs I learned on piano was the Avengers of Mikuru Asahina theme song. And I really love those theme songs. But this is the first anime, or the second anime, if you count Soul Eater, mm-hmm. where, like, I would have the whole OST on my...
Yeah, the OST is pretty good. It's really good. Like, it's like I would want this in my car to listen to on my way to work.
Like, it's nice, like almost classical music.
Yeah, very orchestrated, and it's very diverse. There's a lot of, like, there's a lot of piano pieces. There's a lot of, like, wind instruments.
A lot of string pieces in there, too.
Yes. And then there's, like, those, like, video gamey kind of... music as well.
So
like electronic stuff.
Yeah, so one of the things I shared with you earlier, I shared you two of my favorite songs.
Uh-huh.
And they both have to do with Shiori.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you caught this or not. You have to go and listen and have a nice ear to them. Mm-hmm. But the second song is actually a much grander version of the first song.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
The first song you sent
me? Yeah, so the first song was just the piano,
uh-huh.
which is like Shiori's theme. You can hear Shiori's theme inside the more grand song that's the second song.
So it's like the first one was like a bare bones kind of version of the second one.
And then the second one is they add a bunch of different instruments because that's when she's talking about like her books and her love of books. And that's why I really love... that getting ahead of myself a little bit. That's why I love that arc so much.
Yeah.
Because of every little detail they put into that arc.
Mm-hmm.
Like to where this, you know, really shy, like on the outside, just looking at her, she's like nice and quiet and that reflects in her theme. But when it comes to books and her imagination, that's where it
and her comes, inner thoughts.
Yeah, that's where it comes to life. And just like I said earlier, the music in this anime is great.
It's top notch.
I mean, in the first, I feel that they leaned a little bit too heavy on the music from the first season, just like most like animes, I guess they reuse a lot of the music. Mm-hmm. And you can hear a lot of the themes over and over again throughout the whole series.
Yeah, but if you listen to the OST, there's like 40 something tracks.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of
like
tracks.
There's a lot of stuff
for just 12 episodes of anime.
Yeah,
but then if you think about it, a lot of them are reused.
Yeah, and a lot of them are just like 1 minute long.
Exactly. And I think that just speaks to how much they penny pinched on the next seasons, where they're like, oh, we already spent all this money on the orchestra work and all this stuff, so let's just keep on reusing.
Yeah.
Like, because I can't think of anybody else's... Like, if you would play me, like, simple tracks from the first season, I can name you where, like, which memory I associate with every song of that, of that track. Maybe the few misses I could have, but a lot of the ones from season 2, like, the unique songs in season 2, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. And this, I'm pretty sure there's none in season three that are unique to season three. They're all just reused from the past seasons.
Besides that, the last, well, I guess that's a theme. Never mind.
Yeah. Except for like the insert songs.
Yeah.
Like there's some canon insert songs that are in two and three.
Yeah.
There's, The Memory of First Love.
Yeah. That's song. Technically the ending theme.
Yeah. But go ahead, you hit us with the themes.
Okay. So, the opening theme for the first season was performed by an artist named Elsia, or Elisa, under the name Ontario, the world only God knows. Now, Elsia is a singer/fashion model who's worked on the themes for F, is that how you pronounce it? F, A Memory, A Tale of Memories?
Yeah.
I don't know how you pronounce it. It's EF. She's also worked on The Irregular at Magic High School and the movie called Expelled from Paradise.
Never heard of. I've heard of the other ones, but not Expelled from Paradise.
Okay. And the ending theme was performed by The Groove Party, God Only Knows, which is composed of the voice actresses of the first season.
As we all know, running theme of my likes is I love it when they can get the voice actors to do the ending song. And
yeah. This one, they literally get every voice actor to do their own version of the solo.
Oh, God. And then that all culminates. I don't think they ever play it, but there's a version where all of them are singing at once.
Yeah, I think the first ending theme, each voice actress does their own solo part. And I think the choruses are all together, right?
Yeah. But there's one where it's all of them
singing everything.
All of them singing everything together.
Okay.
And the only time I think I heard it in the anime was at the end of season three. Uh-huh. You can hear it. But yeah, I really enjoyed over all the other themes. These are like the two I revisit often. I revisit a lot of openings from time to time when I'm bored.
Uh-huh.
That opening and those endings I really, really like.
Yeah. So, along with those, that opening, that ending, there are also three special ending themes. The first is in episode 4, and that's by Tomo Sakurai. And she's the voice actress for Asuka Sora. That's the girl in the glitched game.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has her own song. The second one is in episode 7. That's by Nao Tomoya. She's the voice actress for Canon. And the third is in episode 12, and that's by Hiro Shimono, which is a voice actor for
Kama.
Kama, yeah. Yeah. And I love that one. That one's that really cool.
Hilarious. This is how when I was first showing you the endings, I think I accidentally pulled that one up and I paused it immediately because I didn't want to spoil that joke. It's very, the visuals to that ending are just like hilarious of him like ascending, mm-hmm. and him like running through the fields with all of the heroines that he's conquered.
Yeah.
That episode's actually pretty, pretty good.
Yeah.
About him going into God mode.
Yeah.
And then taking like 3 years off of his life, or he just gets really tired.
Yeah. And all the controllers that he has. That's
yeah,
really
exactly.
Cool. And you can like name all the systems.
Well, so you're a big system guy, right?
Yeah.
What was the ancient thing that he was booting up?
With the cassette?
Yeah. What was that? Do you know what that was?
I don't know. The only thing
that's how deep it is?
You're that's a super deep cut. That's probably a Japan exclusive. Because the only console that I know is that uses cassettes,
mm-hmm.
is the Atari Supercharger, which is like an add-on to like one of the Atari consoles. I think it's a 7800.
I don't know. Maybe we can do some research to find out what that was. But
yeah, if you know what that is, I'd be very interested to know.
That was like one of the strongest jokes in that episode. Is like all of the systems fail on him, and then he looks over, and the only thing that saved that system was because it was still loading the game.
Yeah. But the thing is, Kama, like when you, there's some episodes in season three, no, in the OVA where he's a little kid and he's playing a Game Gear. So does that mean he bought older consoles? Because the Game Gear is like 16-bit era. So that means he's like he must have rebought like the Famicom and all that.
Yeah, like stuff. He did have, like, if you look at all the consoles he has in his room, yeah, like, he does have like a Famicom. So
he probably went back to play older games.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
When he was older, yeah. So he really is the conquest god. If he goes back, he's not only playing the up to date stuff.
He's going back.
He's going, like, back playing the older stuff as well.
Like, one of my favorite scenes is, I forget what the game's called, but it's called like Heroin Derby or something like that.
Oh, the horse game?
The horse game, yeah. And he goes and he's like, he's like, there's a lot of releases in here. And he pulls out all the releases from the beginning to last. Yeah. And I think one of them was a Sega game, like an old Sega console version. And he started playing that, and it was like, that's pretty, I don't know, I really like that weird attention to detail in that episode.
Yeah.
Right, so what do you got for season two?
So season two, the opening themes was also performed by Elsia and another person called Leah. And now Leah is a singer-songwriter who worked on the music for some visual novels like Air and Clannad. And she worked on animes like Angel Beat and Initial D, Fourth Stage.
Mm-hmm.
And the ending themes for season two was also done by the Groove Party, only God knows. But this time it's comprised of the second season cast.
So, what I think, this is where you can start seeing them cut corners.
Yeah.
It's with the theme songs. Because it was a little extra to have everybody have their own theme song.
Mm-hmm.
But in the second season, they just cut it all out. It's just all one song, and they all just take turns in the song.
Yeah.
Which is what normally, maybe just because it was like spoiling us to have that many theme songs in the first one.
Yeah.
And then I
felt like it was a good song, but I do agree with you that it did seem kind of like they were cutting corners with not having each voice actress have their own solo or something.
So the problem I have with this opening and this ending, right?
Yeah.
Is that it's following up two like great endings.
Yeah.
Openings and endings.
Yeah.
Especially the opening. The opening is really, really good.
Uh-huh.
And the second and the third one, just, they're good. They just don't compare to the first one. It's like, I feel like a lot of anime has that problem, but it's like they have one really, really good song, really, really good like animation that goes with it, and then everything else gets compared to that.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the ones that come after it are, you know, good, they're just not as good as what follows.
So, along with the second season's opening and ending, there are some special songs. There's a special version of the opening theme that is used for the ending of episode 16 and 20. And it's performed by Kanai Ito, who's the actress for Elsie, and Sayori Hayami, who's the actress for Hakua. And in episode 24, they just use the first ending, the first season's theme song as the ending.
Yeah, which I kind of laughed because it was like usually that spot, like an ending spot like that, will go to your opening.
Yeah.
And then they just fell back to the first season's opening.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think that even acknowledges that song was a lot stronger and resonates more with people. Just like how you're going to mention in the next segment, the ending song appears at the end. The first ending song appears at the end of the third season.
Mm-hmm.
So like, why couldn't they just put their own ending song or that own seasons? Because they're not, to me, they're just not as good as, or not as iconic as those three songs.
Yeah.
Or two songs, my bad.
Yeah. All right. So jumping to the third season, the opening was performed by Saori Hayami, who's Hakua. And the ending theme, again, was performed by the female cast. And each one this time did their own solo rendition.
Mm.
And it's cool because, like, at the end, you could see, like, the shadow of whoever was singing.
Yeah.
I thought that was a nice touch. So episode 32 had its own ending theme performed by now Toyama, which is canon, again. And episode 34 has a different ending performed by Saori, which is Hakua. And finally, episode 36, the last episode, has a song by 2B Pencils at the school festival. And it was performed by Kana Asumi, which is Chihiro, and
I don't know if you
and Naoi, which is canon.
So I don't know if you you probably didn't watch that OVA, right?
When they formed the band? No, I haven't.
So it's literally a K-On! Reference.
Is it?
Yeah. So LC, I don't know if you know K-On! Yeah. K-On! Is short for the Light Music Club.
Okay.
So it's K-On! It's some sort of abbreviation for Light Music Club is K-On! And Elsie's the one who comes up with the idea for the band. And she's like, oh, we should make a Light Music Club. As you've seen an anime about it. And it's like parody because I don't know if you were watching anime back then or currently watching anime back then. Uh-huh. But there was a lot of music anime that came out of K-On! People trying to
imitate it?
Yeah, jump on the Light Music
bandwagon.
Yeah. And
I remember watching a little bit of K-On!. The only music anime that I remember that I really liked was Beck.
Beck? Yeah, Beck was one of them.
That was before K-On! Though, right? Beck?
Yeah, a little bit before. But like Moe Girls playing music. Mm. Like it became a little genre on its own for a little bit.
Okay.
A specific niche, you know.
All right, so that's all I have for like the themes. We can hop over to cross media if you have any. Do you have anything else to say about the themes? Or
no, just that those first two are really, really good.
Yeah, you could tell that they spent a lot of money on like the music
aspect for sure. That's
probably another factor that that helped the bankruptcy.
Oh my god, just putting too much. I don't know if you. We may watch Gangsta one day.
Yeah.
And you can see how much love they put into Gangsta too, but
how many seasons are in Gangsta?
One. It's just 12 episodes.
Oh wow.
And the 12th episode ends on a we'll see you next season, wink wink, kinda.
Oh wow. But
yeah, it's like never to be seen again.
All right, so you wanna hop into cross media?
So yeah, so the only things that we really have for this cross media is that the manga and then the light novel that follows.
Yeah.
Different characters doesn't even follow Kaima. Mm-hmm.
It would have been cool if there was like some sort of video game.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about before we started recording. Like, it's such an easy slam dunk to make a video game off of this. Mm-hmm. And they just never did it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of OVAs.
There's, what, four OVAs, right? One that involves the band.
Two that involves Tenri,
and one about Canon.
Yeah, magical girl Canon. But I think that's all of them. Right. Wait, I think there's two Canon ones. I want to say, but I'm not 100% sure.
That's a lot of OVAs.
Exactly. That I think that also which is why they're trying to get out of bankruptcy was they're trying to do as many projects as they could.
Yeah,
and it didn't help him in the end.
All right, so do you want to hop into the topics now?
All right. So
we got the synopsis.
Synopses first, all right.
And we're actually prepared this time.
Exactly. No jump cuts needed today, Jay. Except for the jump cuts that were earlier, but right now, no more jump cuts. All right. Dating sim master Kaima Kesaragi wants nothing more than to immerse himself in the 2D world chasing digital girlfriends. But when the so-called capture god answers a mysterious email from an unknown sender, Kaima finds himself chasing down real-life ladies in an attempt to help the peppy demon Elsie capture the lost souls, escape from the depths of hell. Now, lest the explosive collar around his neck detonate, Kaima must convince various girls to fall in love with him in order to scare out the souls hiding within their hearts.
Yeah.
That's... pretty much the discussion for season one and two, and I guess three in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I never really understood how scummy the premise was to watching it this next one. But I can actually enjoy in season two, before he casts Chihiro, you can see it starting to weigh down on him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like he
doesn't want to do it anymore.
He doesn't like doing this. Like, he's believed that the girls forget about him as he conquers them.
Mm-hmm.
And but just
he was even in the OVA that I saw, he was even relieved when Tenro was technically Nora's capture, not hit, not his.
Right. And then it's just how, like, if you break it down to the bare bones, this is like Master Seducer the anime.
Yeah.
And like how he exploits these girls' feelings down to a mechanical level, you know? And like, but even though he can break it down to a science, even he gets caught up
in the emotion. Yeah, he gets tripped up a couple times.
Yeah, I think almost every, sometimes he gets caught up in like the human aspect of it, because it's not a game where everything goes according to plan.
Yeah.
And even though he gets to, you know, point A to point B, there are parts that he gets tripped up on.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's the human part of it. And I think almost every capture after the second season, he's, like the emotion of it is what gets him at the end.
Yeah.
Especially with the end of Kanan's capture, actually. He's, like, he knows that he's, like, improved her life.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, if you can get past the scumminess of the premise, it's really good. I really enjoy this anime.
Yeah.
So
do you want to hop into
get into the topics?
Yeah, the topics. Right.
So let's go art and cinematography. So the art itself, kind of generic in a way, I would say. There's nothing really at face value, the majority of the...
There's nothing really unique about it.
Except for the one parts I do find unique are... I guess the word is like how bombastic the colors are in this anime.
Yeah.
At like the capturing points, mm-hmm. whenever they're capturing a demon at any point, like the colors just come alive.
Yeah.
Or like how Elsie's, her cloak or whatever, and it's not a cloak, what are they called? Her raiment.
Yeah.
How her raiment, the color of her raiment like stands out a lot. And I really like how much it pops with how kind of bland it looks. When the art style changes, it's very jarring in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot of like the weird chibi drawn scenes.
Oh yeah, I love those.
Like those are from like straight ripped from the manga.
Uh-huh.
And I like I said, like I love those little tidbits.
Yeah. And there's like a couple parts where they changed the art style to like the Peanuts cartoons.
I really
like those parts. I think that the first one is in the first episode, right? When was it the first episode? Or it might have been the second episode
where Kamen turns into Snoopy.
No, it's when Elsie like says that everybody's gonna love Kama, and then the whole class is laughing at Kama. And they're doing that ha ha ha, kind of how they laugh in the Peanuts.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. The one that really stuck out to me was the obvious one of
the Snoopy one.
The Snoopy one, where he's just sleeping on top of the bench.
Yeah.
You got anything else for? Do you want to say about art? I got a lot of stuff I want to say about
cinematography.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
Well, for art, I just wrote that for the first season at least it was high quality, and I love the use of colors. They're very bold and such.
Oh, yeah.
And I pretty much wrote the same thing that you wrote, that I like the chibi styles. And also, I like that each character, I think every character had, like, it's like a second outfit. And I really like it when they have, like, a change of clothes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. Did Shiori have a second set of clothes?
Yeah, she has her band outfit.
No, Shiori.
Oh, no. No, we never see her outside of the library. I guess that's one exception.
Yeah.
There's probably a couple more.
Yeah, I really like the karate girl. I forget her name.
Oh, yeah.
Her dress that she wears is really cute.
Yeah.
Ayumi's outfits in the last episodes are pretty cool. Like, her casual.
She looked really nice pants. In a dress.
Yeah, and her wedding dress.
Yeah.
So, do you want to jump to cinematography?
Yeah, let's do some cinematography.
All right, so... a lot of my cinematography things I enjoyed were in season one, because there was just a lot of different shots that were done in there that I really liked, and I felt like they scaled it back a little bit in
the later seasons.
Two, like the one that comes to mind when I think of season two, is the is a scene where him and the karate girl are sharing the ice cream.
Oh yeah,
And then, like, it's, like, really high detailed as they lick the ice cream.
Yeah.
The other ones that I really like that I kind of enjoy that they moved on from it. Like, they didn't try to recreate it as much in the second season with a lot of the pop-out gags they would do. Like, when Kama would explain his methodology of things.
Uh-huh.
And it had, like, a little cutout of different animation to go. Like, I'm kind of glad they didn't keep on trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it a few times with a little bit less, like, energy to it. Like, it was more just, like, a solid explanation. But the one that really stuck out to me that made me laugh the most was in the second episode, Kane was talking to, he's talking to Elsie about how she can't be his little sister. Yeah. And he lays out the BMW.
Yeah.
The BMW facts.
The criteria.
Yeah. And then... it, like, turns into initial D in the background as he's describing all these stuff that what it takes for the perfect, like, Imoto or little sister character.
Yeah.
And as he's explaining it, you see this car doing these drifts and all this stuff, and Elsie's not even paying attention to what Kama's saying. She's watching the car in the background go. And just like that scene shows a lot of character in both of them.
Yeah.
Like, how Kama takes this stuff so seriously that...
And that Elsie's, like, a airhead.
Yeah, and, like, she's not even paying attention. Like, whatever gets her attention more is what gets her attention more, you know? Mm-hmm. Another really great scene that, like, really, really hit me, like, in a deep spot was... there's a scene, I think it's in episode 10, where Shiori's talking to Kama.
Uh-huh.
And, like, she's not really talking to him. Like, it's in her head. And Kama's starting to make her mad.
Uh-huh.
And, like, she wants to say something, but she can't. And then as her anger or frustration of, like, herself that she wants to say something, it shows her vision start to blur.
Okay.
And, like, growing up, I was kind of a shy kid.
Uh-huh.
And I felt that emotion before.
Yeah.
Where, like, you want to say something so bad. And you're just frustrated.
Yeah.
And, like, your vision starts blurring because you're just, like,
it's all pent up and stuff. Yeah.
And I really, like, that came from, that scene must have come from somebody who's experienced that. Like,
yeah.
And I really enjoyed that little nod. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, what I wrote for cinematography is that, like, a lot of the shots, I feel like they were, like, chosen with, like, intent, like, like, there was no shots that were, like...
like, wasted?
Yeah, wasted. Everything had, like, a purpose. So, like, some of the shots that really stick out to me are, like, in the first season... Well, for the first season, the one that sticks out to me the most is when Kama's trying to infiltrate the library in Shiori's arc. And they make that big hole in the ceiling. And then he falls down. And that... there's, like, a shot of him, like, an upward shot of Kama, and he crosses his legs.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Shiori's reaction, that whole scene was pretty... You didn't like that scene?
No.
You're making a weird face.
No, because I'm thinking about that scene, because it's funny, because she's like, how'd you get in here?
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Elsie on top, and she's like, Kami-nisama, are you okay? But she's, like, whispering to not get Shiori's attention.
Yeah.
But when you were saying that, it super reminded me of some scenes I really liked, actually, if you don't mind me.
Yeah, go
saying
ahead.
Some. So, in Mio's arc, when you first discover that she's actually poor, they, like, her father's dead, but they never explicitly say that she's dead, that the person's dead, until, like, the very end. They never say the word death or he's gone, but... The fact that he's like, oh, your dad, you never light incense for him or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, all these, like, things of saying he's dead, but not straight up just saying, like, he's dead.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, there's, like, a scene where, like, he's like, well, the chairman, and then it goes to the scene with the cupboard, and the cupboard's closed, and that's his shrine.
Yeah.
And which is, like, a very, you know, if you watch any kind of anime where there's death, there's always... Yeah. Like a shrine or whatever to the person who's dead.
Yeah.
And I just really like the cinematography of that scene. And the writing of that scene is really great, where they can convey that all these feelings are happening without even saying
the words.
Yeah, the words that are actually happening.
Yeah.
So yeah, go ahead. You can go.
All right. So in the second season, what really sticks out to me was that whole montage of Chihiro going to school.
There's
like a montage, like where she sees a cat, she makes some faces at it. Yeah, that whole scene is, I really liked it. And then they redid that scene later after her soul. After
the conquest.
Yeah, after the conquest.
That scene gives a lot of cool character stuff. But like I said, without using words to convey, like you're just using images.
Yeah.
To convey her character.
Yeah, she's doing the same thing, but you could tell that she's like happier.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you something real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
About Chihiro. So you know how like some of these characters, like their souls that go into them, and then they have like some sort of like weird power, like Kanon is like like invisible and stuff like that.
Yeah. So before you finish the question, the one thing I didn't notice was Shiori got the power to read faster.
She got the what?
The power to read faster.
The what now?
So Shiori, if you don't notice, there's always like a lot of books.
Oh, she can read faster.
She can read faster.
Okay. Yeah. So you think that's her power?
They say it in the anime.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. It manifested as she could read faster.
Oh. Did it have anything to do with her memory as well?
Because, I have no idea. Because
she remembers like 1,000 books about fire trucks.
Exactly. So I don't know about that, but they were saying that when they were talking about the power that loose souls give people, that's what he brought up. He brought up that a cannon could do invisible, Shiori could read faster. And that's when I didn't know up to that point.
Oh.
She could read faster, but apparently she could read faster. And then the karate girl could split her soul.
Yeah.
And that was all thanks to the loose spirit.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, my question was, is Chihiro's power making it rain?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because her all, like, all like in the themes and stuff, she's always has an umbrella.
Right.
So I was thinking that maybe she causes it to rain. I mean, she does say that she likes the rain.
Yeah, that could be it. And then the sun comes out after
When they did the redo that the montage, it's like the sun's out and it's bright and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe, I don't know. I don't think they ever make a point of it.
Yeah. I wonder what Ayumi's was.
Maybe
it was her athletic prowess.
Maybe it didn't grow as strong. Like Mio didn't have anything.
Yeah.
Mio had nothing. There's all the cool ones that
they skip.
Like
we're getting a little bit off topic.
Exactly. No, just a little bit off topic, which is about the power of like souls.
Yeah.
There's one that makes somebody grow giant, like a kaiju sized.
Really?
Yeah.
There was one like that?
Yeah. So there's one.
I knew about the one that
makes them small.
Yeah, I know about the shrinking one.
Yeah, which is a really good one.
Uh-huh.
But then I think either before that or right after that was the one about the
giantess.
The giantess, yeah. And it's just like hilarious that he has to.
What kind of personality did she have?
She was an older woman. She was an older woman, smoker, drove a convertible car, like a cool older woman,
like a strong, independent woman kind of deal.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
But anyway, back to cinematography.
Yeah, back to cinematography. Okay, so I'm about to drop some knowledge on Aaron right now. Have you ever heard of the term pillow shot?
No.
From film or whatever.
No. What?
It's primarily used in like Japanese stuff, and I feel that season 3 has a lot of pillow shots that they use. And okay, let me just tell you what's a pillow shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a pillow shot is a shot where they show a still image or like a shot of something that's not moving, and it really has nothing to do with what's going on, but it kind of like sets the mood of like, or like some sort of atmosphere. Like, and the one that I'm thinking of that I really enjoyed in season 3 was the episode where, Kenma was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think it was before Chihiro got into the house, but, it's when Ayumi brought water up to him, and there was a shot of an empty jug, and it was just the empty jug. It didn't really right. add anything to the story, but it kind of like sets the mood of like what was going on. Like,
yeah,
they're,
okay.
they're alone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I, like, I get you.
Yeah, but there's quite a few of those in season 3. I didn't really catch any in season 1 or season 2.
Is it a filler technique? Is that what that is?
I don't.
Would you say?
I don't know.
Especially like in anime, because it's not, you're not spending any money to make that shot, because it's a still shot.
The shot that, the actual terminology is used for like actual film.
Yeah.
So.
But do you think that they use that to, like I said, to cut corners because they can.
I guess I could see that, yeah.
Like, yeah, it adds a little bit of like nuance to the scene. I'm not going to say it adds context, but it adds nuance to the scene.
Yeah.
More than anything else.
You could see it a lot in like Studio Ghibli movies.
Yeah.
Like I think My Neighbor Totoro has like some really good ones in there.
So like, I'm not saying like it's filler as it's a bad.
It's just something thing. Easy to do, I
yeah.
think. Yeah.
Like it's a nice, like I said, it's a nice filler. Helps mm-hmm. pad out the time.
Yeah.
Like that's when you said like pillow. It's meant like padding. That's what I assumed it was. Okay. Something that would pad it out.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I can see that. All right. So that's all I have for like cinematography. Do you have anything else to add?
I don't think so. Just that there's a lot of beautifully shot scenes, especially in the first season.
Yeah.
And I know last week I said that we should only do season 1, but I mean both of you like killed a lot of the first
seasons. Yeah.
2 seasons. So that's where we went all the way to the 3rd.
Yep.
And
it was how it went was like when the last podcast ended, we decided just to do season 1, and then you texted me like, hey, if you want, we could like tackle season 2.
Yeah,
and then I texted you, hey, we might as well add season 3.
Exactly. Because I think that first night I killed like half the anime in one sitting, and I was like,
I did as well.
We can go 2 seasons if we have to go, and then you killed it in like another 2 days, and you're like, oh, well, I got 4 extra days to do the next one.
Yeah.
So,
and when I texted you about season 3, that day I finished 7 episodes in like one morning.
Yeah, it's really good. I can't stress enough how great it is.
Yeah. All right, so what's the next topic?
Okay, we got characters.
Characters.
All right, here we go.
You want to talk about least or first? I don't have a lot to talk about for least.
We should go least first, just because it'll be the faster of the two first.
Yeah. Do you want to go first?
Or? Yeah, I'll go first. So my least favorite characters, and I'm not adding any prior knowledge that I know. This is kind of hard, but I'm not putting any prior knowledge that I know from the manga or anything. And that is the characters I dislike the most, or is Nora and her buddy.
Oh, yeah. I put that I really didn't care for them.
Yeah. And just because there's no reason to care about who these people are, even if Nora seems like a shady character, it never flashes out to be anything more than like a little gag.
Yeah.
And not even like
you could have cut her out and it's still the story would have been fine, I think.
Exactly. And like her buddy's only there just so Kaima can get in trouble.
Yeah.
Because her buddy's an idiot.
Yeah.
And just lets Chihiro into the house.
Yeah. Because he like literally felt the directions that Kaima gave him. He just did them literally.
Yeah, exactly. And then I guess it's for that shock in episode 11 where, or is it 12 or 11, where Nora gets hit by the spear from Vintage.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like, oh no, she's dead. And he's like, no, I've been playing decoys all over the town. So don't worry about it.
I know, I didn't make sense because the decoy answered the phone, right?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I think I kind of was kind of confused right there. I was like, oh my god, they just stabbed Nora. Oh, wait.
Yeah, like, I totally forgot about that part too. I was like, whoa, did they just kill Nora? And then he's like, oh no, don't worry, it's fine. It was a decoy.
Yeah.
But I think the funny part to that one is it reminds me of the decoys left by Elsie.
Yeah, the decoys are hilarious.
There's just the
it's just like a round, like a egg shape.
Yeah, like a sock and bopper.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's what they are. And then in that episode where she's baking the cake, you just see it like generally deflate throughout the day.
Oh yeah.
And people are just like, oh, you're looking weird today, Elsie.
The best part is when that English teacher like still thinks that it actually is Elsie. He's like, the cat got your tongue? Like, why aren't you answering my questions?
Oh my goodness.
All right, so you want me to go next about my least favorite? Well,
because now I'm going to get into a giant Elsie hole. Because I really like when Aqua was pretending to be, Hawk was pretending to be Elsie. And like she's like mimicking her how
she talks.
She
and
talks.
Stuff.
It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
but yeah, you can hit your least favorite.
All right, so I wrote that as well as Nora and her partner are didn't really care for, but I think my least favorite capture was Nagase, the student teacher.
Yeah, so I think I hit you with that. Like everyone's capture is probably like an A or like a. Really, really good, but hers is like a B minus, almost C.
Yeah.
Or like, you could have cut her out and put someone else in there and it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
Like, I would have honestly had rather have seen
Tenry.
Tenry. Or Yoon. Especially Tenry. I'd like to see, because she's such an important character in the.
Yeah, she is.
And then the other two girls as well would have been great to be. To be in there. They're the two goddesses.
Yeah, Yui, and the other one has a hard name.
It's like, I know it's like,
I have it right here. Skiuyo? Skiuyo? Yeah. It's T-S-U-K-I-Y-O.
Yeah, Skuyo.
Skuyo, yeah.
I like, her story is really Skuyo. Cool. And so, I'm gonna get into, like, stuff that I hate about the third season, is that in that first episode, it just shows you the climaxes of each of the captures.
It just glosses over everything. Gives you the cliff notes.
Yeah, and I was like, and everyone, I was like, man, this would have been so cool if they showed the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because how they animated those two endings are really, really cool.
Yeah.
But you don't get much context to them.
And what I found kind of annoying is that the last episode of season two is they kind of like tease you with all these characters.
I forgot about that. And I was like, I was generally, that's where the salt came from going to the third season. I was like, I really want to see these people.
I know. I even texted you that I was excited about the swimmer.
Oh, no.
I was like, hell yeah, there's going to be a swimmer. I love swimmers. I love swimming anime.
It turns into a swimming anime.
Yeah.
And it,
but they skipped out. You're telling me that there's a whole bunch of them that they skipped.
So I think at the end of the second season, he's captured six.
Yeah.
And then season three opens up and he's caught 14.
Mm-hmm.
So we have skipped half of his conquests.
Yeah.
And that's where I think season three falters a lot, especially at its ending.
Yeah.
Because season three is, to me, it's a celebration of everything that came before it. Uh-huh. So, in order for it to have the most impact, you need to know
more about the other characters.
Yeah, more about what has happened. Why does he care about these characters a lot?
Yeah.
Especially the two girls that needed to be told. The three girls that needed to be told for you to understand everything that's going on in this arc.
Yeah.
But just for them to be like, oh, we caught all these girls that at the end Vintage captures all the girls that he's captured.
Yeah,
it's like, we don't know half of them.
We don't care about half of them.
Exactly. Like, we have no attachment to any of these girls. We don't know what happened with the ramen girl. We don't know what happened.
I was about to say, I want to know about the ramen girl.
Yeah, we don't know about the ghost girl. We don't know about the giantess. We don't know about the shogi girl. We don't know about all these girls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some that I can't even remember. There's eight of them. I can't even know off the top of my head. And there's also like a fourth character that's really important to the plot that and I forget her name, but she's the dirty trench coat wearing girl in the last episode.
The one that infiltrated the loose unit, whatever it's called, the loose soul unit,
girl
with the green hair.
No. It's a girl, like, she has like a scarf and she has like a lab coat on.
Oh yeah. She's like she was like a scientist person, right?
Yeah.
She was one of the captures, right?
Yeah, she was one of the captures. She was actually a failed capture, or what he thought was a failed capture. But she ended up being part of the Loose Souls team. along with their teacher,
is somewhat
related to the Loose Souls team, and that's conveyed in that arc, but we never see that.
Yeah.
And the anime kind of assumes that
you've read it and you know
what's going on, mm-hmm. which is, it's kind of a failure in my eyes.
It's like a bad move
on
their part.
I felt really slighted at the end of it, where they just show all the girls at the end.
Yeah.
And, like, what happened to them. It's like, oh, now you care about these characters?
Yeah. Now you're showing me even more characters that I don't know about?
Yeah, exactly. sorry, get...
you want to go into favorite characters now?
Yeah, that's... Because we're jumping to my worst. Yeah.
We're getting angry right now.
That's exactly.
Let's talk about our favorites.
All right. So, I have a big list of favorite characters.
Okay.
I want to prevent this from becoming Scum's Wish on a larger level, because I know we can say a lot of things about every character.
Yeah.
So,
I only talked a lot about my super favorites.
I know. So I already talked a little bit about Elsie. Elsie
was
childlike.
Yeah, Elsie was my first one that I wrote about.
I need to show you after this, but the original pilot, one shot to Rolling God Knows, Elsie had a way different character design.
Really?
And I'm glad that they changed it. They basically she was Nora.
Oh God.
So she was a tall, busty, ditzy character.
Tan? Was she tan?
No, she wasn't tan. But they basically, they took Nora's body type, and it was Elsie.
Okay, that's good.
And she was, more sexualized.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really love that they toned her down to be the little, she was a little sister.
Yeah, the little sister type.
Yeah. There's that. There's Kama. We talked a little bit about Kama.
Oh yeah, Kama's
straight up the man.
Yeah.
I love everything about his character is pretty funny. Mm-hmm.
I was kind of disappointed that he doesn't take off his glasses more often, because I think the first two captures he took off his glasses to be serious.
Yeah.
And he after that didn't really happen.
Because
he's really good looking without his glasses.
Exactly. Then there's Shiori. I know I talked a lot about Shiori. There's a lot of cool stuff.
She's a cutie.
Her meekness, her overarching themes, her music themes are really great. Can't say enough about Shiori. Chihiro's...
That's my favorite.
Yeah, she's really, really cool. Yeah. I really enjoy her character.
Her arc was awesome.
Exactly. Skipping a little bit forward to her favorite episodes, that's... One of her arc is my favorite arc also.
Well, one thing about Chihiro is what I love about her is that they talk about how she's the most normal of the captures, and that there's nothing that really defines her. She doesn't have a quirk about her.
Yeah.
And I feel like for that very reason, that's what makes her stand out amongst all of these people.
Yeah,
that have
she's not
like
a
weird.
Yeah, she's not a weirdo.
Yeah, she doesn't have She's not athletic. She's not, I don't know, but
she's part of the go home club, basically.
Yeah, go home and do nothing club. That's what I really liked about her, and her wishy-washy, I don't really know what I'm doing with my life personality. I could really relate to her.
Go with the flow kind of person.
And then she eventually plays guitar like me.
What I really like about Chihiro the most
is
that she's the one girl that Kama didn't directly try to conquer.
Yeah.
You could tell right away that she liked him to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first, the whole series is the only, I think, honest love in the series. Everyone else, Kama kind of manipulates them into loving him.
Mm-hmm.
But he never tries to do it to Chihiro. He's actively trying not to get her to fall in love with him and love somebody else.
In the arc, he's actually trying to get her to confess to another person.
Yeah, exactly. And she indirectly ends up falling in love. No, well, she always liked him.
Yeah, she always liked him.
And it's really cool. I really like that part about that story.
It's really heartwarming.
Yeah, exactly. And then Then I got Ayumi.
Ayumi's awesome.
The first tone setting.
Yeah.
The first girl was also his last capture.
Yeah.
That was a really cool kind of like circle. Uh-huh. I really love the scene where he's like, you're not down to get married, and then like just shows them up to her parents. And then even her parents are like, this is boring, I'm going back to sleep.
At first they're angry. Well, the dad was angry. But then they just kind of did the back and forth, and then they just left.
And then like my classic favorite character is Mio.
Yeah.
I just really like her arc.
Yeah, her arc is cool.
And like I have a thing for like tsundere lollies, and she's one of them. And when I was reading the manga, I was very disappointed that she wasn't one of the goddesses.
Yeah. I actually told you that like it would have been cool if like in the goddess arc that Kaima spent all this time trying to conquer Ayumi and Chihiro, and it ended up being like Mio or something.
That would have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I would have felt like that was like a kind of weird cop out to it.
Yeah.
Like a twist to be a twist.
Yeah.
Like I really liked how the twist was already that he's like, oh, it has to be Chihiro because Chihiro has so much love for me.
Yeah.
Which makes it even more harder that when he turns her down.
Yeah.
It's like
such a heartbreaking moment.
And
they kind of tease you like in the so they imply that like some of the girls like kind of remember Kaima after they capture him, and Mio's the one of the characters because she kind of like stares at Kaima at the end of her arc.
Yeah, exactly.
After he explains to her how much money she has because she doesn't know how much.
Yeah.
How to count change.
And then she give him like some bread at the end too. Am I tripping? I thought she.
No,
I'm tripping.
That was the teacher. Yeah. The teacher arc.
Yeah, you're right.
She gave him a sandwich.
And then they skipped a bunch of cool things. See, like it's all about like jumping to skipping things, like the Kaon, like when Cannon shows up and she's like, "Hey, have we met somewhere before?"
Oh, yeah, they skipped that like, first part she asked that.
Yeah, and he's
the
like,
first
no.
time she asked.
And it's just, like, cut in there. It's just spliced in the third season.
Yeah.
And there's some scenes in the second season, I think at the end of the episode, and where they start kind of hinting at people starting to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a lot of the one that I think that's a hint that they're starting to remember is, like, Cannon has, like, her songs about heartbreak and stuff.
Yeah.
But that can also just be generic idol fodder.
Song, yeah.
So I hogged up a bunch of time for my favorite characters, or try not to hog up too much. So who do you got on your list?
Well, I have Elsie. For that's the first one I wrote because at first we were just doing the first season and I just wrote her. And
oh, real quick about Elsie, I haven't mentioned it before. I love her quirk about her liking fire trucks so much.
Yeah.
And how much it's shown off in the later seasons. Like it's a joke that's always in the background.
Yeah.
But it's always there.
Uh-huh.
Like just how when
she's like backstage and she's playing with a truck.
A fire truck, or the one I mentioned to you like late at night because I was watching it was in her room, in Elsie's room, she has fire truck stickers. And like how she continued to learn about fire trucks, like when her and she's up in the Hakua look for her loose soul, uh-huh. And then she sees the fire truck pass by.
Yeah,
and she's oh look, there's a fire engine. So oh, and there's a pumper. And like I was like, oh man, she's great. I love her.
There was a quick one. I think the last one that they did, there was a quick one where she was still pretending to be Cannon, and she was like in a radio interview, and she had like a little Hot Wheel of one
on
her
God.
Desk. Yeah,
that's great.
That's the last one I remember. There might be another one after.
I love that little quirk.
Yeah, but I love all the stuff about Elsie. She's like pretty much an airhead. She's hilarious. She's super cute.
Yeah,
and as for the rest of the captures in the first season, she always my favorite. And then I think it might be I think Ayumi beats out Mio.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Especially because of the third season. If we were just doing the first season, it'd be a tie between Ayumi and Mio because we didn't really get that much time with Ayumi. Yeah, she only had like one episode.
That's why what makes me enjoy Love Thirsty a little bit more, because we get a little bit more interactions with Ayumi, yeah. And that's kind of what I wanted. Why I wanted more Mio to be a goddess, because we can see more
of Mio.
Of Mio, exactly, yeah. And they just never mm-hmm. came.
And Canon was my least favorite, even though her arc was really cool. I really liked her episodes.
Yeah, really, really strong. All of them are really strong, except for Nagasa. Mm-hmm. All of them are like really strong and really good.
Yeah. For second season, Chihiro is my favorite, obviously. She's my favorite character in the anime, probably.
Yeah, same. She's really up there for me also.
And for season 3, out of all the people that they introduce, I'm kind of partial to Skiyo, whatever how you say her name is. Yeah, she's pretty cute. Like Yui's cool too. I really like Yui.
So that's why I said like that was really disappointing that we didn't get their captures.
I know.
Cuz
I would have loved to see her arc.
Skiyo's arc is so cool.
Mm-hmm. She's like an astronomer, right?
Yeah, she's part of the astronomy club. Mhm. And like I said, if you could find a way to go read the manga, I would suggest go read. They did a pretty reliable up to season 2. So if you could find where season 2 ends and just read from there,
yeah,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, and she calls her bench an observatory, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my favorite part is like, he's like, oh, does she really not know me, or is this how she shows that she's angry?
Yeah. Or she's like just ignoring him.
A lot of the tense scenes in season 3 I actually enjoyed was whenever the girls would bump into each other by accident and came had to
like freestyle a little bit.
Yeah, my favorite scene of that was Skuyo pushes him over and uh-huh. she's like, I don't want to see you again, but he has her blanket over him.
Oh yeah,
and then he just like runs at Ayumi with the blanket on her,
yeah,
and like scares her and runs away.
Yeah, and then there was the part where Chihiro saw Kaima cross dressing for Yui.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and then he has to play it off with the dress on in the library.
That's smart.
Yeah,
smart plays.
Yeah, so that's all I really have for characters. Like, Chihiro is my favorite out of all of them.
Music, we already hit on music.
Yeah, music's great.
I love it.
Yeah, listen to the OST. It's really nice.
All right, so here you go. The worst ep. So I kind of already hit on it already a lot in the earlier tangent. Mm-hmm. But I really dislike the first episode of the third season when the sun goes down. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, it's badly paced on trying to catch you up.
Yeah, it goes, like, lightning quick. Everything goes fast.
And yeah, the audio mixing is weird on that whole season. Mm. So that's why I assume this is the broadcast version.
Yeah.
Because it just seems like it was rushed, mm-hmm. like, quality-wise. Mm-hmm. And then the second favorite scene, I think they go together really well, uh-huh. is the last episode of the season. Uh-huh. Like, all the goddess stuff is wrapped up super fast.
Yeah.
Which I think is fine, but they've built the season all the way up to this just for
a quick fix.
Yeah, like a cliff notes of all the sisters waking up, Apollo, and then them stealing everybody away and like just throw everything in the wind.
Yeah.
After Ayumi's conquest, which is really, really good, mm-hmm. but everything after that conquest is like nothing. Like, yeah. I really love
it's just like a montage of what happened with the goddesses.
Exactly. I really love the scene where Chihiro sees her pick inside Kama's pocket.
Yeah,
and then she takes it back, and then it's like even right there, you could tell that, you know, Kama still cares for her because he's still carrying, like, he's changed clothes,
but he still has
the pick on him.
Yeah.
And I think, like, she kind of noticed, too.
Yeah.
And you get that really sad, like, goodbye. And it's kind of like a goodbye forever.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, the memory of my first love is. It's, like, it's over. It's, like, something that happened, and now it's over.
Yeah.
And even Kama, like, feels sad. Like, that's really good. I really like that character development. And then it hits you, like I said, it hits you with that, oh, here's how these girls ended or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, I don't, according to this anime, I shouldn't care about these characters.
Yeah.
Because you didn't give me the time to like, to enjoy them.
Yeah.
And then it ends with the cliffhanger of like, well, maybe we'll be back. Maybe we won't. And as we know now, it's most likely never going to come back.
Yeah.
And it's disappointing to say the least. Like I was saying earlier, I know, I think that was my catchphrase last episode was like, it's just really disappointing.
Yeah.
And even though it is high quality, like I'd rank, like we don't really do rankings here, but I'd give like the first season like a 10. Really like that season. Mm-hmm. That season would be like in my top 5 anime of all time.
Yeah.
And the second season's like a 8. Like it's really still really good, just not as good as the first.
Yeah.
And then the last season, it's comparatively to both, it's like a 5. But if you compare it to any other,
I'd say anime, it's better than average.
It's like a 7. I think it's a 7.
Yeah.
If you're comparing it to everything else,
yeah,
it's
a 5.
It's like a 7. If you compare it to what came before it,
yeah,
it's like a 5.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. And it sucks because if it would just stay a little bit stronger, I could comfortably put it in my top 5. Mm-hmm. Just that in retrospect, it's not as strong. Like, I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. I really liked the season.
Yeah.
Just that it's held back because, like, I don't know if it's fair or not to hold it back for what it didn't show.
Yeah. And I mean, like, we can't really help what, like, the budget was or how much time they had to make the anime and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe if I'd never read the manga, like, I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
But I was a real big fan of the manga and a real big fan of the series. And just to see them be, like, dangle you these little things and then not pay off.
It would have been better if they just not showed them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, just show the characters that are involved in the anime and that's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, it was just really, they could have did different ways to get over it.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have to directly adapt from the manga. Like, they didn't directly adapt from the manga. They skipped some stuff, even in the Goddess arc.
Yeah.
And they could have just fixed some certain things to not have these little plot holes in them.
Yeah.
Or just not assume that you've seen everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like I said, it's just disappointing. I'm not mad.
Definitely.
I'm just disappointed.
All right, so for my worst, I mean, yours were pretty good worst episodes.
Yeah.
But for me, I put Nagase's arc, the teacher.
Like I said, it's the worst.
It's the worst.
To me, this argument, it's the worst Mario argument.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people would say Sunshine is the worst Mario game, but Sunshine by any means isn't a bad game at all.
Yeah.
It's just a lackluster Mario game.
Uh-huh.
So that's how I see the Nagase arc. It's
it's
the
okay.
Mario Sunshine of the world only God knows.
Yeah, definitely. But that's the only one. I enjoyed pretty much everything else. Everything else was very entertaining.
Oh yeah. I don't know if you got. Okay, I got multiple favorites. That's why. Okay.
So you want to hop into favorites now?
Okay. So we mentioned earlier, but
A laundry list of favorite episodes.
It's not a big laundry list, but it's so I already mentioned it, the Inside and Outside the Big Wall, which is the episode with Shiori.
Yeah.
When he's first starting the conquest.
Yeah.
So that's when he's trying to read her inner monologue.
Yeah.
And that's where my favorite songs come from. So the big grandiose like sweeping orchestral song is when she's talking about how she loves books.
Uh-huh.
And I think that scene shows you how far gone Shiori is from reality.
Yeah.
Which shows comparatively every girl up until this point has been sort of tame.
Yeah.
Even somebody who he couldn't really relate to, which was Canon, because she's an idol.
Mm-hmm.
But Shiori, since she was a kid, has like secluded herself in this world.
Yeah.
And which makes her heart even more closed off than any other character that he's been involved with.
Yeah.
And just the scene of her talking about like books are life, books are love, books are memories, books are all these grand things to the world. Mm-hmm. Like, not only shows her much a lot about her character, it like just shows how hard it's gonna be for Kama to get over this hump.
Yeah,
and I just that scene with the music in it is wonderful.
Uh-huh.
About her putting herself in all these book roles. And then the other scene I really love of that episode is when she gets the list of books that she has to dispose of.
Oh yeah.
And how like heartbroken she is as she's getting these books that are either gonna go to used bookstores or other libraries, and then she gets the order and she can't say they're gonna get thrown
trashed,
out
yeah.
or trashed. And like she's just really, really sad about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which leads to, like, another hilarious scene where the scene I mentioned earlier with in the next episode with her blurry vision.
Yeah.
And her talking to Kama and calling him an idiot.
Yeah.
Baka.
Baka, exactly. And then we have, It Always Rains when we get there. So mm-hmm. that's the first episode of the Chihiro Conquest.
Yeah.
Where we finally see what these conquests are, like the mental strain it's putting on Kama.
Yeah.
And I really like that the author addressed that, like, yeah, Kama's doing these things, but it's weighing on him mentally and emotionally.
Yeah.
And I would also feel that stress too of he's making like all these memories and getting caught up in his own feelings just for them to disappear.
Forget about him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I put that whole arc as my favorite.
Episode. Oh yeah, for sure. It's the like Shiori's arc, and we mentioned earlier like Shiori's arc and yeah.
Chihara's
arc are really strong.
I don't know if you know this, but the author got Chihara's name from a train station.
Really?
Yeah, she's named after a train station.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then my last one, which is my favorite filler episode uh-huh. I put on here, which is Summer Wars. Uh-huh. So that's the episode where Kama finds his perfect heroine.
Yeah, and the best game that he's ever played.
Exactly. And it's like horribly written.
And horribly she's drawn.
Like horribly drawn, but for some reason he's in love with this character.
Yeah. And he's even playing the game super slow. It's just
to savor enjoy it.
Yeah.
And this, I watched that scene again because it's just hilarious. Of like, he's like, oh, I found the four-leaf clover. And she's like, I don't want a four-leaf clover. I have one of those. I need a five-leaf clover. So will you be my fifth leaf? And I'm like, oh my god, that's so cheesy. And it cuts out, yeah. And she's just like T-posing. Mm-hmm. Like it's not even like anything special. Oh my goodness. That episode's hilarious. And then the second half of the episode's not as good, because it's about him trying to come up with a good dating sim.
Yeah.
His perfect dating sim. I don't think it's as strong. The gimmick is the strongest of her staff. That first half is just too much. It's too hilarious.
Yeah.
Like how he turns around and he has her face, basically.
Oh, yeah.
The same art style.
In real life.
Yeah, and Alice, he's like, no, not your face. That's your best characteristic.
I really loved that in like the scene where like he was in the game and there were like the fireworks. And then she asked him, like he asked... Like, can I call you, like, what, Yaksun or something
Yaksun,
like that?
Yaksun, yeah, like, hella. She's like, can I call you Kanma? He's like, yeah, can I call you? It's like, whoever.
Kanma-kun?
Do you have to get Yatsukun or something like that? Yeah. I was like, gosh dang it.
What an ugly name.
Like, I know.
Yak.
Yats, because her name's Yotsuba.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Yatsukun or something like that. Gosh dang it, like some kind of moe name.
Yeah.
So what were your favorite episodes?
All right. So usually on this podcast, when we say like, when we talk about like filler episodes, that's usually like our least favorite episodes and stuff. But for this, I really loved like all the filler episodes.
Oh, all the filler episodes are great.
Yeah. So I wrote that, the cake episode is really up there for me.
Yo. So,
and like it keeps like going back to like what happened and other people's perspectives.
Yeah, and it's filling in the story as it's going.
Yeah,
I think that's the most ambitious episode
uh-huh.
of the first season.
My favorite part of that episode is that, so the whole episode is Elsie's trying to make a cake for Kama because I think, was he depressed or something? Or is he trying to like lift his spirits?
Yeah, trying to just lift his spirits.
Uh-huh. And, oh, I think it's because he like closed off to the world. Or like he's just trying to focus on games or
something. Yeah, I don't remember.
Like he has the virtual boy on.
Yeah.
I think it's that.
No, the virtual boy is after. Is later? That's during the Chihiro arc.
Okay.
When he closes himself off, he becomes a shut-in.
Yeah. Okay, so my favorite scene in that episode is that she's like trying to cook this cake or bake it, not cook. And there was like a shot of like the microwave was tied up and it was over like a bonfire.
Yeah.
I cracked up. So like I literally laughed out loud on that.
A lot of the things that like they stopped doing like production wise in there was they added little text jokes. To there. I don't know if you caught that text joke in there, but
where it just says something on the top, right?
Real quick. And the thing on the top for that one was like, please do not put your oven over a fire.
Yeah.
And like there's like a lot of little small jokes like that throughout the series, like just text jokes. And God, I totally forgot. I was gonna put the episode on here too. That episode's really strong.
Yeah. And the whole decoy thing was really hilarious.
And there's just I want one of those in the corner of my room, just the LCD decoy.
I want a Yolksoon shirt or something.
That'd be great. You could probably find, I don't know about any more, but you could probably find some cool stuff.
Yeah, I'll just make it myself. Cannon's arc was really nice. I put that up there.
Yeah. I like how it's not solid traditionally,
uh-huh,
where he's like, you don't need my love. You don't need anybody's songs. Love. And then all the insert songs are really great.
Yeah, I really like the ending where she was on the stage by herself and she performed
Citrus.
Citron song.
Oh, that's cute. That scene got me a little teary eyed. I was like, oh, that's cute.
Oh, from that arc, one of my favorite scenes was the first time that Elsie met Cannon, and she was like starstruck, and she was like looking for something for her to sign, and he grabbed Kama's PSP, and she signed the front screen.
Oh my god!
I was like, no!
And he's trying to wipe it off. He's like, what is this, oil based?
Yeah,
oh, that's cold. Oh man, the more I think about that Cannon arc, the more funny it is. Like her like chibi depressed form in that. Or like her hitting him with the cat tasers.
Oh yeah.
Oh god, it's hilarious.
She had like two of them.
Exactly. Or like they're so sharp that when they hit the ground, they just stick in the ground.
Uh-huh.
Like Jesus.
another episode that I really liked was episode 12, the last episode of the first season.
Oh,
this is where he goes into his room and we see like all the game. He's playing like six games at once and.
Exactly. And then like the last one he has to face, the last one is like the static games.
Yeah.
So he has to play like 15 at one time.
Yeah.
And then he just like completely loses it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And he has like that one heroine left.
Yeah. In that episode, my favorite scene is like, I think Kama's mom asks him to like go check, tells Elsie to go check on him to see how he is doing. And she goes in, she cracks open the door and she's like, Kama, are you doing okay? And he's like doing this weird stretch on his belly where he's like holding his legs.
Oh my god. So one thing that I going back to that cake episode, a little fact that was in there, I don't know if you noticed or not, but Kama's mom's a grease monkey.
Oh yeah, she's like she used to be a gangster, right?
Yeah, she used to be. They didn't really show it, but she used to be like a gangster in high school.
Yeah.
And then, the dad like tamed her, basically. And then there's a scene, like you just go to like, once you know that little factoid, you can go back to a lot of scenes where she gets mad and she puts her hair down and she totally looks like a female biker.
Yeah.
And so it just alludes to her past that never really gets cut. I also really like that there's that scene where he has to get the mom out of the house in the third season.
Yeah.
And even though she's already divorced her husband, or in the proceedings of divorcing her husband, which is like another great like writing line, is like in the second episode Elsie's like, oh, mom went out and she went to go see a person named a lawyer or she went to go see a person like an attorney, mm-hmm. so she's not gonna be back until a while. Yeah. And then like in the manga too, I want to say they don't get rid of her. I don't think they do. Uh-huh. And how they get Hakua to stay there is that Hakua says that she's also a
illegitimate
child yeah. from the dad, and they play that off too. Like it's the same joke, but it doesn't get less funny. It's pretty
yeah.
Still say it's pretty strong.
All right, so another episode that I enjoyed was the episode where Kema tells Elsie to buy the rare game.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's another good one.
Yeah, and that's the episode where he finds that really like weird game, the Yokun one or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. And then
I thought he first like was going to the bargain bin, I thought he was gonna find the rare game in there.
Uh huh.
But it ended up being like that weird game.
And then he ended up falling in love with it.
Yeah. And then Elsie buys like a DVD instead of the game.
Oh my god. And then do you got any other?
Oh, the episode where Kema gets sick.
Oh, that's
really
a dope strong
episode.
Really, really strong episode where he's trying to hide
two Ayumi. Of my favorite girls in this house.
Oh my god, what a gangster move! And then like she hits him with the Chiharu hits him with the I love you.
Yeah.
And then he has
oh
to pretend,
my god.
Then he has to pretend like he didn't hear.
That's like, brutal.
Oh, dang it, man.
Man, Chihiro just gets the short end of the stick like a bunch of times.
Exactly. That's why I'm really glad in the manga.
They
know,
do end up together.
They do end up together at the end.
Spoilers, they do.
Exactly. And it.
She does reject him initially.
Initially, yeah.
But then they
end up getting together.
Yeah.
And it's really cute. And I'm really happy for that ending.
Yeah, me too.
We have a lot. There's a lot of great episodes in here. Even in the third season, that there's scenes that episodes that salvage that season, and like I said, it's really, really good.
Yeah, but that whole every episode after the sick episode is pretty. Well, apart from like what you said, that last scene of where they show all the other captures that we didn't get to
yeah.
see, but after, for the most part, everything after that sick episode was pretty good.
Yeah,
I really liked it. Like
I think everything. The first episode sucks. The last episode sucks. Last 5 minutes of the last episode sucks.
Yeah.
But everything in between that is really good.
Yeah.
I really liked. Except for any time where they brought up what they didn't show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, just something that reminded me that they messed up.
They skip stuff.
Exactly. Is what really made me disappointed the most.
Mm-hmm. So the whole sick scene, Chihiro's confession, both times, like the one that where she confessed in his room, that was really touching. Then the actual real confession when they're like out on the roof.
Oh.
Yeah, that one was.
That's heartbreaking when she's like,
yeah,
like,
I was like,
my first time. I was like, no.
No.
Like, I had totally forgot that scene was there. And when it started, I was like, no, I forgot about this.
That's the kind of scene that, like, oh no, I have to be ready. I'm not ready to watch this.
I was like, no, Kema, please don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, when I was watching that, I was watching it on my bed, and my wife was like next to me, like on her computer. I was watching it, and I was saying out loud, like, no, 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 please don't do this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and my wife was like, what are you doing? Why are you yelling?
I can see that. I can see Nancy totally doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That scene causes so much stress in me.
I mean, it's like it's like you get that high of, like, oh, my God, she loves him. She loved him this whole time, and then, bam, like he just flat out reject, like the worst rejection like ever.
But what's crazy is that like he never looks her in the eyes the whole time.
Yeah.
And that's really strong about it. And how bad he's like, she's like, Ayumi talks to him right after he doesn't, she's like, why did you do that?
Uh-huh.
He's like, well, because like he has to come up with
like a reason,
some sort of lie. Or actually my favorite part is like about that scene, he's like, all right, I need to let her down, like this, this, and this, like doing it how he usually does, like in his calculating in his head. But then he goes, like, is this the right thing to do?
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
yeah, there was like, a conflict in himself.
Exactly.
Because you could tell that he didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
He wanted to, like, get with her or something. Or confess his true feelings.
That sucks.
Yeah. But then after that, the whole thing with Ayumi, those were great episodes as well.
Well, like, even during the conquest, he's, like... He's kind of mad because he's like, he keeps on thinking about her.
Yeah.
Like in a romantic way. And he's like, no, I'm not going to, this isn't my conquest. Like, I need to not think about her in this way.
Yeah.
And even then, that's pretty, pretty sad.
Yeah.
I
think that's all I really have.
Do you have any more? Do you have any general?
General likes?
General thoughts that we didn't touch on? I'm pretty sure I've said my disdain for the third season enough throughout this series.
So I have some general thoughts. I like the references to other animes.
Oh yeah, it's really really.
Yeah, there's like you showed me a list before we started of like there's a bunch of stuff. There's like references to Yu-Gi-Oh,
the Beatles.
Ghost in the Shell, the Beatles.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Gundam. There's a few Gundam references. There's like a whole scene of like just Gundam stuff.
Exactly.
But then you there's the carriage that Mio, that one of the carriages.
The obvious one.
Uh-huh.
That scene's great too, the carriage.
The one shot of Kama doing the cover art for A Girl Who Leapt Through Time.
Yeah. Oh my god. That's just the first season too.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them like characters hidden in the series, and that adds to the charm of it. And like as I said, like I'm just disappointed. Like I could go on and keep watching this for every girl that they skipped. Yeah. Like I used to always tell my friends, like, do you think the gimmick at the end of season 2 ran its course? And I don't think so. I think you could still keep, because the real gimmick to me, the real gimmick isn't that he's capturing girls. The real gimmick is that how each girl is different from the next.
Yeah.
And just depending on how strong each of the girls' gimmicks are, that's the strong of the show. Just so you can see like how the Nagasa arc isn't that strong because her gimmick isn't really that strong.
Yeah,
she's a wrestling fan.
Yeah, she's a teacher.
Yeah, but then, like you said, like the giantess arc,
yeah,
that I've been really cool to see. I mentioned to you earlier, the swimming girl, her arc is told totally through her.
Yeah.
And with her seeing Kama in the background.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. And that'd been really nice to see.
Does she see him like as a stalker kind of type?
Yeah. Or? Like originally it's like, she's like, why is this person like always trying to talk to me? And why is this person taking notes around me?
Yeah.
And why is he so mean to that girl with him, which is Elsie.
Mm-hmm. And that brings up the question, like, they had enough material to do it, so like why not do it? Like it seems like a kind of a weird decision to just go into the goddess arc.
So that's,
unless they knew that they were gonna go bankrupt or something.
Maybe. Well, like I said, it's a change of director.
Oh yeah.
So maybe the director didn't want to do that and was more interested in doing the goddess arc than anything.
I guess so. Yeah, that could have been it.
Milking it for everything that was in it.
Yeah,
but
I feel like even if they did milk it, people would still eat it up. It's like it would have been cool to see.
But I don't think we probably would have never finished it. We never would have got to the goddess arc if that was the case.
When did the third season come out? What year?
12 or 13.
Okay.
And they went bankrupt in 15, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah. Then I guess we wouldn't. If they would have done a third season with more of the characters, then we wouldn't have seen the goddess arc.
And then the manga ended in 15. So I don't know, like they could have, because I think it was 2009.
Yeah,
was the first season, right?
First season was
like either 10 or 9, right?
Hold on. 2010,
right?
Yeah, the anime.
And then the manga was 2009,
I think. So
or 9, or I don't know, I want to say 7, but anyway, we could have, like, another two seasons before we even got to the goddess arc.
Yeah.
Because it's 14. Like, the ghost girl could have really honestly been a... Because it's only, like, 2-3 chapters long. It's not that long of an arc.
So it could have been just, like, an Ayumi episode?
Yeah, it could have just been, like, one... Yeah, like, one the filler episode could have been about her. Or Shogi Girl could have been only, like, one episode.
Yeah.
Those are, like, perfect, like, OVA episodes.
Yeah.
And then, like, the big 3-episode ones could have been...
Tenri.
I think Tenri was fine with the 2 episodes.
You think so?
Yeah. But all the other goddesses, I think, needed their own episodes.
Okay.
And not just the massacre cliff note version of it.
Yeah.
I mean, besides of all the negativity from the third season, I guess we've hit on the things that we would change.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, we've pretty much already gone through it. And it would have been nice if...
we would have got all the girls.
All the girls, yeah.
And then the actual ending would have been great, too.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, that fixes all the problems I had with...
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the middle girls that they skipped... It's fine they skipped them, like the ramen girl, the Shoki girl.
The ramen girl wasn't interesting?
She's okay, but she's skippable.
Okay.
That's my point. Like, Nagasa is skippable. Mm-hmm. What they should have did was took out Nagasa
and put
in Tenri.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like I said, put in any of the other girls in there.
That had a goddess.
Yeah, exactly. Like, girls that needed to be in the... That needed stories that needed to be told and just weren't told. Like, if I had to choose one girl who had been included in the main series, it would have been Tenri, because she's one of the most important ones, because she's, like, the childhood friend.
And she was character. The first goddess.
Yeah, exactly. And she's the first goddess they show even in the second season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they show Tenri looking through a window, and then you can see...
The halo?
The halo.
Yeah.
Other
than that, there's no
things, like, that would change.
Yeah.
I mean, always we hit with more production money would have been great.
Yeah, it would have been nice if Manglobe stayed in business.
Exactly, so we can at least get the finale animated, but it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. Unless me and Aaron hit the lottery, it's not going to happen.
Unless this podcast takes off, and then we
could just fund it ourselves.
Exactly. All right, so accessibility... If you can get past the scummy premise to begin with and just have fun with it, it's really great. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, there's a bit of fan service in it, but it's done tastefully, I think. It's kind of funny, actually. Yeah.
I don't think they don't really give in to the fan service until season 3.
Well, there is a couple of instances in it in, like, the first 2 seasons, but it's not...
Like, it's not really strong. It's, like, not
strong. The only one that I remember from the first season is, like, in the first episode when, I don't know if it's the first episode.
I think it's talking about the bath scene?
Yeah.
Where the second episode where Elsie goes in the bath?
Yeah, and she says, like, I wanted to wash your butt or something.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's but, like, even that's played off for, like,
and
jokes.
I think everything after that is, like, a bath-related scene. That's the only fan service.
And then, like I said, like, it doesn't really hit until, like, the third season where they start doing, like, weird fan service stuff. Because I don't think there's any in
the one with
second.
Tenri in the bath.
There's one with, like, the Ayumi's taking a bath.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I guess there's also the third season where Hawk was taking a shower. Or where Hawk was taking her bath and shower.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of the fan service stuff is in season 3,
mm-hmm.
which speaks to its, like, weird quality.
Weird directing.
Or lack of, weird lack of direction.
Yeah.
And then you can find it on Crunchyroll.
Yeah.
OVAs, you're going to have to dig deep for them.
Yeah. I actually tried to watch the OVA, but it's, like, I don't know. It's hard to...
More hassle than it's worth.
Yeah.
Even though, like, it's a really good arc, it's just...
I actually did watch the first episode of Tenri, but the second one was not happening.
Yeah. Also, like, real quick, talking about Tenri, I really love her quirk of, like, she likes magic.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
It's really endearing.
Gosh dang it. Rewatchability...
That's
100%.
I would definitely watch this again.
The first season especially, I can watch over and over and over. And
the
I
only
can't.
Thing that I'd probably skip is Nagase's arc, maybe. Right. But then I probably would watch it. Like, I might as well.
Yeah, like, I really like this third season. It's just that I'm petty and I don't.
Yeah, I guess you could say that with like anything. Like, if there's like a book movie adaptation of a book, then people are gonna get angry no matter.
Yeah, exactly. How they handled the source material.
Yeah. Just like how I'm probably gonna get mad at Ready Player One.
Oh my god!
Because I already seen in the trailer that they changed one thing.
And then you're like,
Yeah, I'm like,
This is like my third or fourth time actually watching it.
And really?
Yeah. This is one of my, like I do with Soul Eater or I do with Haruhi, is like.
Once a year?
Yeah, once a year I'll go through the.
So this was your 2018 watch?
Yeah, basically. Usually I don't do the whole series. I usually do the first series.
Uh-huh.
Especially when I introduce it to somebody, I like watching it with them because it's just a really fun trip to go through them.
Yeah, with somebody else. Yeah, yeah. I can see that.
And it's really great. Recommendations, high recommendation.
Yeah, this is a high recommend.
Even the crappy third season, it's worth it. It's worth it for Chihiro and Nayumi.
Yeah, at the definitely. End.
Even with Skio and what was the other girl's name?
Yui.
Yeah. Even with their characters, like, kind of whatever. Oh, this reminds me. The scene where Shiori's writing her book.
Oh yeah.
And Kama's like rewriting the ending, and they're like passing it back and forth.
Yeah.
It's a really cute scene.
Yeah.
Or when he's reading it the first time, it's like blank, blank, blank.
Yeah.
And then Kama dies. He's like, Kama dies. And I wasn't sad about it at all. And I was like, yo, that's cold.
Yeah.
And then, like, just her rewriting her stories was really great. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, really high recommendation.
Yeah.
See, like, I want to put this anime in my top five so bad. Just that the quality doesn't stay consistent enough for it to stay in there.
Yeah.
But I really... really enjoy this anime.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so
that's
with that wrapped up.
It's my turn to pick, right,
Jason? Well, first of all, you already hear here, folks. Being a scumbag isn't that bad. That's not if you're good at it.
That's good,
right? All right, Jay. So okay. I don't want to put too much pressure on you from last week or this week, but. What do you got? What do you got for me?
Okay. So the next podcast is actually going to be our 10th episode, believe it or not.
Woof.
So
we did it, 10.
Yeah, 10 episodes. So I felt like we should do something big.
Okay.
So I picked... This anime is actually still going on.
Really?
Yeah, and there's a lot of episodes. Okay. But we're going to do... I don't even know how we're going to do the first season because there's a lot of episodes in the first season. It's One Piece.
Okay.
We're going to do One Piece.
All right. Okay.
So I don't know. Have you ever watched One Piece?
So actually, I started on the voyage of trying to watch One Piece.
You did already?
Yeah. I've tried. And I don't know what stopped. Have you watched any of One Piece?
Yeah, I have.
Okay,
so I watched a bit of it, and like you, I stopped.
So, okay, I didn't get that far. I only got to episode like 23, 24.
Hmm.
So, what I would suggest how we do this is I'll go look it up in a little bit.
Okay.
But we should end it at the Sanji arc. Or actually, I have a couple of friends. I got two friends who are really, really big into One Piece.
Okay.
And I can get a recommendation of where we should stop. Okay. But I think the end of the Sanji arc would be pretty good.
Okay.
But...
Do you know what episode that is?
No. If you give me a second, I can
We'll just look it up later.
But, I don't want to know. No one's really following our episode list anyway. But it'll be the end of the Sanji arc, which is probably like 27 or 30 around
there.
Okay.
A decent amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to suggest like 30 episodes, but I didn't want to stop in like in the middle of something.
Of an arc. That's why yeah. I picked the end of the Sanji arc. Yeah. It's probably a good stopping point.
Because if we were to do the whole thing, it'd be like 60 episodes or something like that. And I think that's not very doable in 1 week.
No, I know. Yeah, exactly.
It's like double Flint.
Oh my God, double Flint. Yeah. You know what? It might be an easier watch than,
oh, yeah, than Flint.
Yeah. But I think even... No, yeah, because like... I think it's like 65 or like 70 is the end of the
first
arc. Yeah. Mm. But, all right. Well, this sounds like it's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah. I'm excited. Did you think that I was going to pick Digimon?
No, I kind of hope. I kind of hope you did. That'd be pretty fun.
Yeah. Because I did ask you about Digimon. I was telling you that I was looking at Digimon.
Yeah, exactly.
Earlier this week.
I was kind of hoping, but I don't know what we wanted. But we're going to hit eventually.
Yeah, we'll
It'll
hit.
It'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not in order. For Digimon?
No, there's some good... I want to start with good Digimon before we...
Let's start the vintage else. Digimon?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys. So, if you like us, follow us on SoundCloud. Subscribe to us on YouTube. They're both Anime Cherry Bomb if you want to find us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're listening, you already found us.
Yeah, exactly. on YouTube, the links are in the description for our SoundCloud. And I don't know if you can do it vice versa. If you can put the... YouTube link in the...
I could put it in the description.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that. I'll start doing that this episode.
Yeah. Or like I said, I've been lagging on it, but I need to make tiny URLs for them just so they're easier to find.
Okay.
Yeah, leave a comment.
Yeah, tell us how you feel about this anime, how you like Chihiro.
Exactly. How you think Kame is the man.
Yeah.
If
you have any suggestions about anything, you could...
Reach out
up.
To us.
Yeah, hit us up on YouTube or on SoundCloud. You can comment on SoundCloud. A lot of people don't know you could do that, but you can do that.
Well, until next time, I think that was a podcast, Jay.
Yep.
All right.
See you guys later.
Later.